What's he listening to?
The Young God Podcast.
Before we begin, let's take a deep breath to center ourselves in this moment. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's begin.
I personally don't like the concept of competition.
Okay.
So that's why, it makes me feel, I'm giving the impression by the words, by observing the world, that there's no place at the top for one who doesn't embrace the concept of competition. I have an internal battle about it, but I don't have a conclusion about it yet.
What you're about to listen to is a high-level conversation between three friends about competition. What's interesting about this group of speakers is that we each have different viewpoints and very different levels of competitive drive. I am the host and I am the highly competitive one in the group. The second speaker is competitive but measured in his approach, while the last speaker doesn't care for competition at all. But what he lacks in competition, he more than makes up for it in curiosity, because this unplanned conversation started because he wanted to understand really how competition worked and if he could achieve his business and career goals without a competitive edge. Together, we started to unpack competition in real time, not knowing that we were recording. We started off with the personal, then the entrepreneurial, and then we entered the spiritual. Three voices, three points of view, all of which added up to a very nuanced and sublime conversation. No matter your feelings about competition, I think you'll find this episode delightful, thoughtful, and revelatory. As you listen, take note of how certain points and speakers made you feel about yourself or competition in general. And be sure to sound off in the polls and the Q&A if you're listening on Spotify. I'm your host, Rodney Amorgache, and you are welcome to The Young God, a podcast for gods.
Yeah. Stand back, God talk. Watch calls.
I love to compete, man. I love when it comes to things like that. I love to either, you know, take my L.
So you love competition generally, or when it comes to game?
Generally, I love competition. Yeah, even this podcast
thing.
What
drives you around? What drives you in competing?
So in competing is when you love something. First of all, you have to love the thing. If you love the thing, right, then you want to play people. You want to compete with people who also love it.
So that's why. So to get my point, what do you like about competition? Is it what you're competing about, or the idea of competition?
The idea of competition.
So what if you're engaged in something that you're not expert in, and there's competition? What would you do?
That's it. So you get better. So you can compete on their level. So you can you know, see whose style.
So if you're engaged with a concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're good at it.
Yeah.
And so you hear that there's gonna be a competition that it excites you, right? Because it's an avenue to showcase your being good, right?
Yeah.
So would you then on the flip side, you hear that there's a competition about something and you're not good at it, would that drive you to go and learn about it? Or you just want to ignore the competition since it's not the point of your strength?
That's a good question, actually. So
you dive at every competition?
No, I don't dive at every competition. But if I'm good at something and I have, you know, and I derive some value in it.
So it is safe to say that you enjoy competition at your points of strength.
Okay, so I enjoy competition at my point of strength, right? But I also see I enjoy competition in others. So basketball, for example. I can't play basketball as good as
you enjoy
seeing people or those who are good at it compete.
Okay.
Because what happens when you compete is that you push each other and you see the best, you see the best of the thing. Okay. I hate seeing, I love when I see the best of the best do their thing,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So when I'm good at something, I want to be the best of the best at it. I want to show what I can do.
And when you're not, you want to watch people do it.
Yes.
And enjoy it.
Yeah, I want to see how good he is and see, you know, and then if I beat him, I want him to know that I beat him. You know, that's the competition, the drive. And so even in business, I enjoy seeing all these tycoons compete. And not because the money is just keeping score.
Yeah, no, it strikes me a lot because in the business world, 90% of successful business people are people who are naturally driven to competition.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy the fight, they enjoy the push, they enjoy the...
And not as a mortal enemy, but as a worthy adversary. You get?
Well, in that case, I may not be able to go into their intent.
Mm.
Do you understand? But I could see the surface part of competition, right?
Yeah.
I'm able to tell whether it's to destroy or it's to build.
Whether
to destroy the opponent or to build themselves. I may not be able to tell the intent, but the fact that it's competition, right?
Yeah.
But I personally don't like the concept of competition.
Okay.
So that's why... It makes me feel, I'm giving the impression by the world, by observing the world, I'm giving the impression by observing the world that there's no place at the top for one who doesn't embrace the concept of competition. I have an internal battle about it, but I don't have a conclusion about it yet.
Well, you know, they say collaboration over competition.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But I like to think that both work hand in hand. It's a sort of collaboration to compete. You're collaborating at pushing each other to the optimum. If there's no competition, you know, you can reach a level and then you stop, you chill.
Yeah, because
is there a competition that, depending on who you're playing with, in my opinion.
So, okay, it depends the kind of game you're playing. Are you playing a finite game or are you playing the infinite game?
Okay, so here, I think that people are mixing. I think that the shortage of English vocabulary.
Okay, wait, just wait before you go further.
For you to be called competition.
Can we have like a perspective to what a competition is? Like, in terms of, is it competition as in general?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which I'd rather that.
Yes, we're talking about the concept.
Okay, if it's that, it's inconsequential whether it's a finite or infinite. Right?
Okay.
It's now about what works you to compete. That's your question, right? What works you?
Is it to win?
What drives you to compete?
For you to get
there. You know, is it to, because you want to dominate, show that you're domineering, that you're the best in this space?
Mm-hmm.
What's your motion? What's your motive for competing?
Either of those three is valid. And sometimes it could be a combination of all three.
Because personally, I think competition is a very good thing.
Mm.
They are healthy and unhealthy ones,
mm-hmm.
right? But...
No, I'm not even against the concept of competition. I'm just concerned that I don't vibe with it. And yet, I have a craving to be at the top. And
you're bringing it back to yourself.
Yes, it's my concern now.
Okay, yeah, you're conflicted in that
yes,
way.
Yes. I have a concern because I have a desire, right, to sit at the table at the top, right? But by observing the world, I'm being given the impression that if I'm not giving to competition, there's no place for me there.
That's why we are together. And the reason we are together.
I know you got my back there. But apart from that, I still want us to dig deep because in the automobile industry, in the automobile industry, when Toyota creates a vehicle, right, Kia comes up with a machine feature and class of vehicle, right? For its market and its audience, to ensure that they retain their market presence, no matter what Toyota is bringing to the market, But I think that companies
and organizations that has uniquely impacted growth, beating market records, and touched humanity in a unique way, didn't grow through the concept of competition. For example,
mm-hmm.
iPhone never existed before it was created.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't created because it was trying to outdo another product, because there was none like that. That's for iPod. Sorry, the product iPod. The iPod,
yes,
iPod,
yes, yes, yes.
Right? Then there were phones. So Apple phone was a competition to Nokia.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So Nokia wanted to make sure they have enough feature to retain the market.
Mm.
Apple wanted to make sure they have enough feature. But iPod was a game changer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And iPad, which is Tab.
Yeah.
Right? Was a thought of a mobile phone and a laptop. What do we have in the middle? It wasn't a market survey.
Mm.
It wasn't, they didn't do any survey, any research to see that users need this.
Mm.
Users didn't ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
Once it was created, they now learned how to use it. They now liked it. Yeah. It now became their thing.
Yeah.
Right? I think that major intrinsic human growth has been born out of reinvention rather than competing. So could it be that people engage in reinventing themselves for the desire to grow, but term it as competition? So when they are reinventing, because I see competition as an external drive to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I see reinventing as an internal drive to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that people are mincing words when they're engaged in reinventing, but they're calling it competition? Or that they're actually two different concepts?
You've said so many things, I don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start from the iPhone thing.
Mm.
The Apple thing, right? I believe that you're focusing too much on the micro of the invention of the iPod and the iPad, right? When you look at the macro of the business of Apple, it was a competitive move. Let us do something that even these guys haven't thought of.
That you've hit the nail on the head.
You know,
I was waiting for you to respond.
That's the competition.
Yes.
So they, in a way, they struck both nerves in terms of competing, reinventing, and competing. The reinvention was, you know,
was for the purpose of us doing.
Yes.
So
competition.
Why do you interpret it as? Are you interpreting it? Is it based on the concept of we see the world the way we are, or you're saying this from a point of knowledge of the Apple company?
That's a great question. I love this guy. The answer to that question is from knowledge.
Okay.
If you know the story of Steve Jobs, you know he's a guy that operates with a chip on his shoulder. In fact, remember, he was someone that was fired from the board the first time. And coming back, this is a guy that has something to prove, to show. So it was, one, let me prove to these guys that I am the actual shit. And two, how can I do something that can change the world? So it was both internal and external. And I think the people who shift things to that extent in the world, they kind of have both.
So if we know that it's a combination of internal and external, which mm-hmm. do you think we should give the credence to, external and internal?
The internal.
So is internal competition? Or is external that is competition?
I think they're both forms of competition.
Okay, so reinvention is a form of competition.
Mm-hmm. You're competing against your old self. Isn't that what we do? How can we be better than our past self? We're competing with ourselves every day.
We're just reinventing ourselves for the...
So it makes me feel that... So in that case, I think that the notion of the fact that it's a shortage of English vocabulary could be right, because I don't think that if an action done based on intrinsic purpose, right, to call the competition is correct, because competition always have to do with external. When you're competing, there must be an external factor of comparison.
Can I say something?
Before you do, you know that saying, the mark of a mature person is not trying to be better than someone else, but trying to be better than their past self, right?
Yes.
But the paradox is that in trying to be better than your past self, you inevitably become better than the other person. So it's like flipping, it's like a mind fuck for yourself. It's like, if I focus, obviously I want to beat this person, I want to be better than this person.
I think you've helped me.
Okay.
When the other person is the factor, it is competition.
Okay.
When yourself is the factor or the icon of comparison, I don't think it is competition.
God Gang, can I have your attention, please? If you're feeling generous, you can show your appreciation with some funds. Let's call it the Young God Fund. Please consider supporting. There's a Paystack link in the show notes. Whatever you're comfortable with, it will go a long way. Thanks a lot. Now let's get back to the show.
So what do you have to say about companies that started an intrinsic product, you know, that failed intrinsically with several purpose and didn't have the capacity to scale, but a bigger company in that sector saw them and know the potential they carry and bought them off, right?
Now, act of competition.
Now, you see what I'm saying now?
Yes.
Now, they have bought that idea now in order to retain their market share and then outdo
the next company.
You know, so the point I'm making now is at the point of inception of the thought that is ground shifting, that is paradigm shifting in terms of what the impact is going to have, it might not be necessarily competition or passion for what you do. But the minute you bear that thing, you now bring that thing to life, I want to make a business of it, you must get into competition mode to survive.
Right.
Must.
Or else you'll be swamped or denied. Take for example, we know how big Mirinda was back in the day. It was the in thing. But you can barely hear Mirinda.
Good spot. Even good spot.
Good spot. So we're talking about this meant. This other cement, not Dangote cement.
So
competition.
Baku.
No.
Elephant. Ibeko.
Ibeko.
So I want to hit a line there. I want to hit a line there. I think that competition is the name of the game, observers call it. Reinvention, right, is the name of the game for the party playing. Here's why I think so. After the demise of Steve Jobs from Apple, Apple has been on the competitive lane. They've never returned to the reinventing lane because they're now involved in market share, market drag, because all they've been doing is better what they have. But reinvention is not trying to be better than the next, just coming up, just like Rolls Royce.
Let me ask this question. Rolls Royce
is not a car.
Mm.
It's not a car company.
It's a status.
It's a status. It's an accessory of statement. Do you understand? So, Toyota, Kia, these are, then you're going to enter the luxury, you're going to say, Mercedes, Lamborghini, try to compete in luxuries, right? Then you just pick it totally from the scenario. That is not...
Let me ask this question. Competition. I'm not very sure, so I want to know, because I want to tie it to the statement I want to make. Was Steve Jobs the bearer of those ideas, or he saw the vision in someone and snatched off them three porches.
No, Steve Jobs.
Those iPods.
Steve Jobs.
I know about the iPhone part. I know he bought
Steve,
that.
Steve Jobs. So have you?
There's
a book.
He bought it. Yeah. But I'm talking about the iPod part, the tablet part. Were those also his intrinsic thoughts?
Yes. In fact, he had a whole like.
There's a chapter.
Products.
There's a chapter in Steve Jobs' book. There's a chapter in Steve Jobs' book. His biography. That talked about the spiritual side of Steve Jobs. Right? If you read that chapter, right, you would know why Apple can never get to the point it was with him. Except what they've just done is if he didn't die, Steve Jobs would probably end up being a religion in tech. Yes. When he left the board, what he went for that 2-3 years was meditation. You know, he's a how do you call them?
Atheist or
Buddhist? No. He's a Buddha. No, these people that looks like pastors in India, in Buddhist. What they call them?
Monk.
Right. Shaved off and went into self-isolation for over 3 years. When he got back, his inventions in tech, you know how people are trying to, what they were trying to do was do better. This is research. For each research, if there's a research that will cut across the entire industry, everybody will contribute into a research fund. But what he did was totally off the hook. But I'm concerned that competition is the part that carries conversation in the business world. Nobody talks about the spirituality of reinvention and business. People talk about the competition. So that's why I was asking all of those questions I was asking.
Okay, so I love that, and I think it's interesting because naturally, because Steve Jobs was different. He is a god in his own right.
Yes.
Based on his balance between the spiritual grounded in reality, as we spoke about,
yes,
right? So a lot of these businessmen that stayed or that are still acting today, they're very much on profits, competition, they're very, very base about business. So you can see why their business practices are affecting the environment, affecting, you know, the lives of people adversely. People are reporting lower fulfillment from their jobs these days because they are businessmen whose practices are just not in aligned with a more human or a more thoughtful dynamic, right? You know, even Steve Jobs himself, even people that would talk about him, talk about how he could be an asshole, but at the end of the day, he was able to mobilize and galvanize the troops around the idea of making products that were simple to use,
relatable,
and just worked. And when you
and we're cool at the same time.
So it's like, it's the essence of God in the sense of making something that adds value to your life. Forget as a status symbol. This iPhone that you see here, my brother, if you know the capabilities it has from day one and how it has just seemed to like meet every, like sort out every need you would want something to like this to have in your life. Just make this aspect easier. You know, make the touchscreen more sexy. You know, these are things made, you know, when they say everything is love, the idea that you make something that makes your life easier, that is love, right? So that's the, so when you use a product like that, you get that sense that this was thoughtfully made. And that's what Steve Jobs brought to the market. And from that point on, every other product by other companies has been trying to capture that magic, right? But they captured it from a copying perspective, not because the person who leads the company thought in that way from the outset.
So the point I wanted to actually, I get your point, well said, right? Mm. But I wish he was here. I wanted to share. But I think I get where he's coming from, right? He's not speaking. He wants to see from within. It's an internal struggle for him between reinvention and competition. So what he wants basically is how I don't have to compete if I can just reinvent myself all the time. The minute my competition starts copying me, I'll do something else. That's where the angle is coming from. But in that space of thinking, it's sufficient that all you have to do is reinvent yourself. But there's a, but when you expand that equation, you realize that you're shooting yourself on the leg. Because you probably will not be milking some of your inventions to the fullest. You invent something and then you're competing and just milking the market because you are not competing in the marketplace for what you have created. So your market share is now being shrinked. It's shrinking, right? But your competition, who copied from you? Take for example the opposite of the Android, right? They're just grabbing the market share while you are busy reinventing for the next one. So I feel I understand where he's coming from, but at some point or another, you must compete.
Yeah, you can't run away from it. You can't hide from it.
You must compete because for you, and that was why I gave him the example of companies buying off potential threats before they amount to anything. They'll pay millions of dollars just to make sure they don't carry that market, that product to the market. They want to be the one to do that. So they'll paint the picture of, oh, you don't have to do anything. Oh, you've tried, don't worry. Whether this concept or this vision or idea fails or not, you've already cashed out. But then nobody's going to buy a failure. Of course, there's a risk to fail, but they see the potentials. And for you to milk the potential out, to actualize those potentials, you must compete in the market. So maybe at the point of invention, as an inventor, you're not competing, but for you to profit from your invention, you must compete.
Yeah. I like that. That nuance, and I think maybe it will also help to take it out of the realm of business, also, because talking about competition just in business might also like skew
limited.
Yeah, limit his understanding. Right. You know, when we think of sports is only makes sense because people are about competing. The goal is to win. And in that way, you can, as an outsider, and even both as someone in the arena, if you think of it, gladiators, all this from time immemorial, there's a joy from competing, from putting yourself out there and testing your limit against another person. And for some people, whether in business or outside of business, they derive that same thrill. And what you find is that if you're monetizing a sport, the sport becomes more and more profitable the more those in the arena thrive off competing.
And reinvent themselves
to compete further.
Yes. Now, it's interesting you actually broadened the conversation into outside, business. But it's also funny that now that I think about it, the same concept does apply.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking about a Messi or a Ronaldo. You know, Ronaldo had potential. That's why I was grabbed from Sporting Lisbon. And when he got to Man U, he had to reinvent himself into maturity. His execution on the ball, decision making, had to reinvent all those, right? For Man U to now leverage and sap all that potential from, right? All the potential. But If Ronaldo just kept reinventing, he would do one today, abandon it, do another ski. You know, well, we know him for leg over. Imagine him now leaving his leg over and saying he wants to start doing other skill. And then they go to another skill. There's a point he will get to. He run out of ideas. He still have to come back to one of those things he has invented before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the point I'm making now is, as you're reinventing, for you to make profit, you must be competitive. Because as Manu was making money off Ronaldo, people were trying to poach him.
Mm-hmm.
People were trying to poach him. Why? Because they also know that these guys have never tapped the full juice from this guy. So when he got to Madrid, he saw that he had to reinvent himself because he's not face to face with Messi. Him reinventing himself now was a necessity, because there was this thing going around back then that he didn't used to show up in big games.
Mm.
He was only showing himself in small games. He had to show that side of him, right? So, and for him to actually benefit from those things he had invented, right, to show that, I got this too, he had to show to not just Messi, but to Madrid.
Yeah.
So you can just invent a new thing, but for you to actually leverage on it, you must be intentional about competing.
Yeah.
So him inventing himself now would have made no difference if he wasn't competing with Messi.
Yeah. Spot on. He would just be another talent that just existed and went away. Yeah.
You know, so I think I like that he actually expressed that, because I never really thought about that.
Yeah, that's very thoughtful take on competing, and he's conflicting. I mean, and it's interesting for him. I think he should also chase that thought process further, because you know, for someone who wants to get to the top but is shy about competing, you know, that is something that at some point is a I won't say demon, but it's a thing you have to confront at some point, you know. If I want to cross this threshold in my career and in my life.
He's my friend, and I know that's something he doesn't have, but he actually has to grow it, because for me, I know how to cut to the chase. Like when it's business, like if it's time to, like, I will hack anything off.
Mm.
Right? Because I know my competition will also hack anything off to get what they want. Right? So imagine that you have to make a tough decision. He might struggle with it, but we are not sent, because our existence lie on this decision we're about to make.
Mm-hmm.
So will you be, and the committee doesn't, nobody cares about you, right? I'm not talking about the committee about some of the guys carrying on and going to shoot down Messi because they want the whole market share. That's madness. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, let's meet on the table. Bro, what are you willing to do to remain at the top?
Yeah.
Because at the top, man, it's very, very... Bruh.
What are you willing to do within the boundaries of the game? You know,
without... Some people have boundaries too.
Some people don't have boundaries. They don't.
Sometimes boundaries, but she's there too.
That's where the competition becomes unhealthy.
Mm.
Right? But I always like to make it clear to people that, you know, when people talk about collaboration over competition, that is you're not saying anything that is profound, because in competition is a form of collaboration.
Yep.
A decision between both parties, you know.
Absolutely.
To do their best and to bring out the best in each other, you know. So believe it or not, people think that this podcast is an altruistic, purely altruistic, oh my God, I want to help people. It's also a competition, one, against myself.
Of course.
And two,
and people out there.
Against other podcasts.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
We're competing for people's attention, for people's time, people's money. Last.
Resources.
You know? So, it's incumbent on me to have to bring out the best content, to make sure that I hone my skills as a conversationalist, to be able to bring out things from people that people want to hear, to be able to hone my storytelling skills, so I can continue to communicate effectively a message, especially if it's a message that's difficult for people. So if you're able to communicate a message that's difficult for people and they can accept it, you're competing on a different level.
Yes.
You know, so I would like people to embrace competition and not think of it as some kind of like dark. And it is, you know,
it's
actually dark, but you have to tap into your dark side as much as your light side. You need balance. You can't just be, you know how they say, the Bible says, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. You need your light and your dark.
True. And going back to that Ronaldo Messi thing, right? He knew that for him to actually remain, he needed to grow.
Yeah.
So it was actually, I think it was probably competition that pushed him to reinvent.
Ah, of course. Yo, when you come to La Liga and Messi, this guy that seems to have it so easy, he's small so he can move the ball with his feet. He has a low center of gravity, so he has the advantage of being able to go through anywhere. Then he can now finish. He's scoring goals. But Ronaldo is not like, this leg was I'm doing, they don't get me anywhere.
So it goes to show, so basically that revealed to me, if I was just thinking about it as we're talking, that either could be ignited by the other.
Yeah.
You know, reinvention could be ignited by, you know, after, you know, maybe after you reinvent yourself, then you go and compete. Mm. Or because of competition, you have to now reinvent
yourself. Yeah, either way, it could, you never know. It's like the chicken or the egg, which came first? That question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so whatever it is, those two factors will have to play for you to remain in the game.
Yeah. You know something, when I play FIFA, right? When I meet people generally, they're not very competitive about FIFA. They like to play the game. They can play it too, but it's never that deep. But then when they now play me, and one thing I like to do with people is I like to like ginger them. First of all, I like to let them know that I'll beat you. So now when they start to play me, their competitive edge starts to come out.
My consciousness comes up.
Yeah, they want to now, you know, I can't just let this guy come to my house, or I can't come to his house and just be his bitch. You know what I mean? And before you know it, their game gets so good, they become better than me. They become so good because they've played me and they've played with that edge. So that's why I like it. It brings out the best, and you now start to see what people are made of. You know, I've made friends, lifelong friends, of that competitive, you know, back and forth.
Unfortunately, that's all, folks. There's so much I could say about competition, but that is all for this episode. At that point, we realized that we're recording and we just had to stop and go do other things in our lives. But I think I should let you know that this will not be the last you hear from me on this topic. Tune in next week for a solo episode where I get into my full bag about competition and why I think it is a good thing, how to use it, how to hone it, and how to not get consumed by it. But with regards to this episode, this conversation, I'm really curious to know what thoughts it inspired in you as you listened. You can slide in my DM on Twitter at The Young God or Instagram at The Young God Pod to let me know what exactly transpired in your mind. You can drop a chat in the Young God community on WhatsApp. There's a link to join in the description of this episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, you can take part in the polls and the Q&A so that your opinion may be recorded for all to engage with. And finally, just a reminder that we are approaching the 5th anniversary of the podcast on the 5th of May. And so, if you're feeling generous, consider making a donation to the podcast via the link in the show notes. Thanks in advance, and thanks for tuning in. It's always a pleasure doing this for you. See you next time. This is The Young God.
It's got talk. It's got talk. Let God talk.
It brings some excitement to the word of God.